You're listening to SBS News.
This is an extraordinary period for America's economy. Over the past few weeks, many Americans have felt anxiety about their finances and their future. I understand their worry and their frustration. We've seen triple-digit swings in the stock market. Major financial institutions have teetered on the edge of collapse, and some have failed. As uncertainty has grown, many banks have restricted lending. Credit markets have frozen, and families and businesses have found it harder to borrow money. We are in the midst of a serious financial crisis.
That was former United States President George W. Bush speaking in September 2008, after a downturn in the U.S. housing market triggered the biggest global economic crisis since the Great Depression of the 1930s. The new period of economic instability would come to be known as the Global Financial Crisis, or the GFC. It refers specifically to the period of extreme volatility in global financial markets and banking systems between mid-2007 and early 2009. And the global financial services firm Lehman Brothers was the highest profile casualty, filing for bankruptcy on September 15, 2008. 10 years later, Murdoch University politics and international studies professor Kanishka Jayasuraya remembers the day well. He says the crisis was triggered when banks started selling their credit in complex loan packages not subject to sufficient regulation.
These packages, you know, sort of securitized asset packages, then were sold on to other banks, other financial institutions. And this is really the surprising and shocking thing about the global financial crisis, was the web of debt that that banks themselves were not aware of. And when the market then responded by marking down these banks, the whole thing went into catastrophic crisis for the financial sector.
Before the crisis, stable economic growth had prompted more households in the United States to take out loans to purchase or build homes. Many lenders had not properly assessed borrowers' capacity to pay back the loans, believing strong economic growth would simply continue and housing prices would rise further. There was a similar economic environment in other countries like Spain, Iceland and Ireland, where people also borrowed heavily to purchase housing. But in the downturn, housing prices dropped and unemployment rose. Lenders began to incur large losses because many of the homes they repossessed could only be sold at prices well below the value of the loans. Associate Professor of International Business and Strategy Hussein Ramal at the University of Technology in Sydney says the crisis highlighted the lack of regulation in the global financial system.
So it started from the US, but then it started exposing issues in Europe, because bad loans were coming to Europe. It started showing poor performance from governments. And we saw the case of the Greek government, which had borrowed a lot, spent a lot, but didn't have enough assets or any sureties to back that up. So it was just a poorly structured system of keeping tabs on things that just got exposed worldwide.
Greece became the symbol of countries hit far more deeply when the debt crisis turned into a political and economic crisis. The country's high debt level, large budget deficit, low competitive power and unstable political structure combined to leave a trail of destruction on society as a whole. Eventually, it all turned into a Eurozone crisis, and the repercussions continue to rattle across the continent a decade after the Lehman Brothers collapse. While the financial crisis did not seriously affect Australia, economic growth did slow significantly as a result. The Reserve Bank of Australia has said the country was largely protected from the more serious effects because Australian banks had little exposure to the US market and US banks. Resource exports to China, whose economy recovered quickly from the GFC, also protected Australia. But Professor Jayasuraya says while Australia was not seriously affected at the time, it has been swept up in a changing global economic and political climate that stems partly from the GFC.
The issues of wage stagnation that we've seen in Europe and North America are problems in Australia as well. These kind of economic difficulties and hardships being reflected in Australia as well, albeit at a lower level, in the kind of, you know, fragmentation of political parties, in the rise of smaller parties like One Nation, and in the rise of, you know, like in Europe and North America, rise of anti-immigrant sentiment.
Mr. Ramal describes the result as a shift away from a global economy to a climate of so-called economic nationalism that can be attributed to the GFC. He says it has resulted in the escalating trade war between the United States and China, for example, or the anger over countries forced to bail out others, as Germany did for Greece. Mr. Ramal says the pushback is countries now trying to protect their own economies rather than strengthening the global economy.
I think the big thing has been that move towards nationalism. So we're seeing more borders being closed, more about countries first before thinking about global trade. And I would say part of that is due to the global financial crisis. And we're seeing the effects of that with Brexit, with nationalism in the USA, and more European countries trying to close their borders for international trade.
Following the crisis, the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority put stronger banking regulations in place aimed at protecting Australia's financial sector from global downturns. Despite that, Mr. Ramal says industry analysts are warning the world may be heading for a similar crisis in the future. He says it is not any lack of stricter laws now in place to regulate lending practices, but rather proper implementation of the existing laws.
So as more newer economies grow, there will be a risk that people will try and take shortcuts, and we may end up with a similar situation in the future.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.